Hey everyone, just a few quick things to say before you get into it this week. First off, I'd like our listeners to bear in mind that because of her work, our guest this week has requested we keep her full name and face out of anything. She is not looking to create any sort of online presence, she's just a friend of Austin's who came to have a good time. Please do your best to respect that and don't try and track her down. What you can track down, though, is a new Facebook group we started out. I'm mentioning this here at the beginning of the episode because it wasn't even really an idea yet when we were making the announcements at the end of the episode. The Ad Hominem brand of entertainment now has a discussion group called the Group of Illogical Debate. So, if you want to try and track that down on the social networks, we would really appreciate that. Anyway, enjoy the episode. Hey everyone, welcome back. It's me, your best friend, Joel, and you're listening to Jackass. No, wait, that's the wrong show. This is Ad Hominem, the podcast of illogical debate.
Way to go, Joel. Nice intro there. Stuck the landing.
I thought so.
Well, hi everybody. I am Austin Irwin, returning co-host, and we have a new guest this week. Her name is Margaret.
Cool.
Hey everyone, I'm excited to be a guest on this week, and I am very excited to dominate and defeat everyone in this game.
Oh, very confident, I see. So, how long has it been since your last argument?
Well, I mean yesterday, and today I dealt with the fallout from it. But my last pointless argument would have been on Monday when we played Super Fight.
Oh, okay.
Yep, that makes sense. That was probably my last argument too.
Cool. Cool. So this is Debaters Anonymous. Thank you for joining us. It's not actually anonymous because we're broadcasting, but could I get your credentials, if you wouldn't mind?
What?
I do not know what credentials are in this scenario.
Okay. We have a solid following of about 10 people.
I mean, I'm one of them, so.
They want to know that the people on this show are qualified to be debating illogically.
Oh, yeah. So I would say that my credentials are that as I grew up, even at the age of 7 or 8, everyone told my parents, she should be a lawyer someday. She really seems like she's pretty good at this kind of thing. I was going to be a lawyer, and then I discovered that all lawyers are real annoying, so teach elementary school instead, where I get into a lot of arguments about stupid stuff with little kids. So I think I'm pretty qualified.
Yeah, I would say so.
That sounds like some good.
Austin, you scattered a good one here.
Yep.
All right. Well, how was your week?
Is that a question to me, Margaret, or just both of us?
Yes.
Okay. I'll start with my week, I guess. It was here and there, I guess. So
understandable.
Monday started off really good, and then Tuesday and Wednesday were okay, and then Thursday was just a wild ride of emotions that, oh man, it was really, really bad, and then it got really good, and then it got a little bad again, and then it got good, and then so far today has just been a day, honestly. Like, not super interesting and not boring, so I'm doing all right.
What about you, Margaret?
My week was pretty dramatic, as all of my weeks go. But today ended with a 10-year-old laying on her belly in the hallway, screaming, crying, and kicking her feet as if she was 3. So it was a great day. Just wonderful.
Understandable. I dealt with the aftermath of nearly dying this week.
Oh, no. What happened?
Okay. Well, story time. I was in a car accident on Saturday.
Well, this is so news to me. Thanks, co-host and friend Joel, for telling you this.
Well, I didn't, like, get hurt or anything. I just nearly did. Oh. Like, I don't know. I was saving it. I was saving it for this moment.
Right.
Anyway, so I was on my way to work, and my car spun out, and I landed on my side in a ditch. So If you want to, like, come into the mind of me for a second, my first thought, I'm suspended in my seat, not only avoiding falling onto the passenger window because my car's on its side, I'm only avoiding falling down because I'm suspended by my seatbelt, and my first thought is, oh, crap, I'm going to be late for work.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
I mean, that would be my first thought.
Yeah.
My first thought would be, I'm going to be late to work. And then my second thought would be, I wonder what my boss is going to have to say about this.
Yeah, I'm still here and all that. So we're good that way.
Yeah, we still got a podcast going, and we're still living life.
Yep, the show must go on, folks. Speaking of show, we're on one, aren't
we? I think that's normally what we do.
I think my little story time wrapped up our 5 minutes of talking nonsense for the day. So, this, again, welcome back to Ad Hominem, the podcast of illogical debate, or Debaters Anonymous, or whatever you want it to be. We, or I should say I, made a card game, and one of the things that I heard from a lot of people was, hey, this is fun to just listen to others play. So I was like, I sense a marketing strategy here. And here we are. So, we're going to play this game that I've made over the internet, and we're going to skip the last step, which is the judging step, except we're not today because we've got a third party. Austin, Margaret, you guys are going to be having a face-off with your illogical debate skills. Now, Austin, I know you have a little bit of practice with the rules ahead of your co-host here that you brought on for the day. Don't lord it over them.
Well, I may know the rules, but I'm still bad at the game.
Understandable. So, what's going to happen is I'm going to, first off, roll a die to determine who goes first. And we're going to pretend that this is a coin that's heads or tails, except we're going to call it evens or odds because it's a die.
Alrighty.
So, Austin, you want to pick first or do you want to let Margaret pick? Or
Margaret, you can call it.
Evens.
It's a bad choice.
It's odd.
That's okay.
Roll 20 really hates evens for being...
This way I can respond to your argument and gain some points right off.
That's true.
Wait. You don't know that. Because Austin's going to be picking whether he wants to go first or second.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You know, I'll go ahead and go first anyways.
Okay, that's fair. Now, hey, Austin, you remember when I started... Before we started, I mean, and I told you I had a surprise.
Yeah, and then I asked you what it was, and then you just said a surprise again.
Get ready for your surprise. Wait, first let me hand out topics. Or not topics, I mean methods.
Still waiting on that.
All right, so I've got all that. We're good there.
I'm feeling less cocky than I was before.
Hey, Austin, have you noticed that there's another deck of topic cards?
Yeah, I know. There's one that's outlined in the nice blue color, or teal, or whatever it is. And then there's one that's outlined in black this time. I've never seen that before.
Oh, that's the crappy old design. Anyway, are you ready to see what your surprise is?
Absolutely.
Okay, so your topic is, who would win in a fight? Austin, you think that Lego Bulbasaur would win in a fight. And Margaret, you think that Shocked Deoxys would win.
I've literally got no idea what that thing is, except that it's light blue and pink.
So... Here, I'll tell you what it is. It's a legendary versus a Bulbasaur.
I dug up all the bootleg Pokemon toys I could find.
Oh, that's what that was about.
Took 14 of my favorites, and now you guys are going to have to make them fight.
Okay, so...
But with your words.
Let me tell you everything I know about Pokemon in three sentences. Pikachu is part of it. Also Ash Ketchum. Team Rocket's blasting off again. The end. That's literally all I got.
Cool. So this is going to be a great one. I guess for you, you're in a lucky situation. You get to decide what this thing's abilities is just by looking at it. Austin's got preconceived notions, I think.
Yeah.
Am I right about that?
I know what started.
Throw those out the window. Throw those preconceived notions out the windows. They're irrelevant. These are not Pokemon. These are bootleg Pokemon.
Got it.
Oh, no.
Can I make that picture bigger?
I can make that picture bigger.
Oh, great. There he goes. Wow. That Deoxys sure is shocked.
What is that, a JJ the Jet plane face?
Oh my goodness, that freaking show. Man, that was
pretty sure it is.
Yeah.
It was.
It's definitely, I don't know.
That's what I thought.
Are you going to upload these images to the to the Twitter?
Yes, so I will.
So people can see what we're arguing about?
Yes, I will. Don't worry, that'll be up before the episode is.
All right, so what's the difference between...
Actually, probably not before the episode.
Yeah, not before, but what's the difference between bootleg Pokemon abilities and normal Pokemon abilities?
Well, the thing about being a bootleg Pokemon is it's not a real Pokemon. So we don't know if it's actually capable of the same things or not.
So what we're doing is we're playing Super Fight, except with pictures instead of adjectives.
You know what? I think I can deal with that.
The thing is, we don't know if these Pokemon's abilities were also changed to avoid copyright.
I mean, I'm assuming the Bulbasaur's wasn't, because I think a kid just kind of put a couple bricks together and was like, hey, Dad, check this out.
He's really pointy, though.
Well,
I don't want to give you ideas.
Plausible deniability, though.
Oh, man.
I take it we're all ready to go?
I think so.
I'm going to give you 30 seconds to think, just in case.
All right.
I'm ready.
I'm just looking at this Pokemon, and I'm thinking... I don't know if that's, like, what are those pointy things? Like, his ears?
Damn. Yeah. Didn't you know that weird turtle things have ears?
All right, Austin, you're going first, right?
Yes, I'm going first.
All right, get ready.
Okay, I'm prepared.
Get set. Go.
Okay, so Lego Bulbasaur is definitely going to beat this Shock Deoxys. And here's the reason. Why is Deoxys shocked? It's afraid of my Lego Bulbasaur. And let me tell you, Lego Bulbasaur, definitely one of his moves has got to be Foot Destroyer. There's no way it's not. So, that Deoxys has got some kind of feat, so it's just going right for it. Also, we all know Legos are basically indestructible, so there's no way that Deoxys is going to win in this. It doesn't matter if they're a legendary.
As we looked at Shock Deoxys, I see big wide open eyes and a big shocked mouth. And do you know why? Because Deoxys is shocked and appalled at what Lego Bulbasaur has done. Lego Bulbasaur is morally in the wrong, and Lego Bulbasaur knows it. Shocked Deoxys is able to use that big giant hand to shame people and Pokemon and bootleg Pokemon into understanding they did the wrong thing and then just give up the fight and have it be over. Shock Deoxys would absolutely win just on the strength of that psychic power alone.
Fun fact, it is actually a psychic type. Yes. Anyway, Austin.
Yeah, you got it in one, Margaret. Wow. I was genuinely impressed. Shock Deoxys. I mean, look at that face. He's obviously scared. Now look at Lego Bulbasaur's face. That is the face of no mercy. He is absolutely going for it. He is ready. He's prepared. And look, he's so small. Like, how you can't touch him. He's got to be quick. That little thing on his back, that's supposed to be his plant. It's there. It's round. And it's ready. It's ready, just like he is.
Ready for what?
Ready to destroy. Destroy your legendary Deoxys.
All right, here's what I think. Is that really the best you can do? Is that really the most you can come up with? I think you should be embarrassed. I mean, Lego Bulbasaur may have some fine qualities, and you have yet to come up with any of them. But let's go back to Shock Deoxys. You called Shock Deoxys a he. Shock Deoxys is clearly a lady. Do you not think that lady bootleg Pokemon can win in a fight? Is that what you're saying here? I mean, I just, Shaktiaxis is shocked and offended by what you did and said. Have you no sense of decency because Shaktiaxis doesn't think so? She thinks that both you and Lego Bulbasaur are appalling. You should be ashamed with yourselves and you should just give up right now. Do you not agree with that?
Margaret, I don't agree with that. Shaktiaxis can hate me all she wants. She ain't fighting me. She is fighting the merciless Lego Bulbasaur. And here's a great thing about Bulbasaur. Me and my Bulbasaur, he's my starter. We've got that bond. We've got
I thought that you weren't fighting you, that we were fighting Bulbasaur. I don't see why you should be a part of this closing argument.
Hey, hey, that's an interruption.
That is an interruption.
Technical foul.
That you're is right. You're
against
right.
the game.
I'll take the penalty.
Lego Bulbasaur and I got that bond. We are just going to lead to great things because we've been there since the beginning. That Lego Deoxys of yours, you trapped a legendary. She is probably offended by you. You took her out of her natural habitat of being legendary. And she is just going to go down this path of absolute hatred. And I'm pretty sure since you've never played Pokemon, you don't even have enough gym badges to control Deoxys.
Your time's up, Austin.
Well, that was the end of my closing statement. So good.
Shaktiaxis is a legendary Pokemon. Bulbasaur is a starter. Who's going to win this fight? The end.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, that was good. Man, you know, Joel, you really threw a wrench in this machine here because I was not expecting this at all. I don't even think I used my fallacy.
Your fallacy was...
My fallacy was slippery slope. Claim that a set of actions will lead down a slippery slope to a result that basically has nothing to do with your original argument. And I tried to like throw that in at the end there, which I don't think it worked out that well.
Mine was loaded question, asking a question phrase to make your opponent look bad for answering whether or not it supports their claim.
Good job, guys. Well, not you, Austin.
Yeah, I can't see the text on mine because it's so small. I'm just not a confrontational person.
I am.
Yeah, Margaret is definitely confrontational.
Understandable.
I've played D&D with Margaret for about a few months now.
And I always win.
And now you're DMing and you always like to win. I don't know how a DM is going to win, so...
Just by existing.
Well, a DM wins by killing the players.
Oh, please don't kill my character.
Oh, that would be rad. Maybe I'll try to fit that in there somewhere. Oh, man.
I'm going to have a backup character set just in case you decide to kill off my boy.
Just you in particular.
All right. So, Mario, you say you listened to the show before?
Yes.
Okay. So you probably are somewhat familiar, if you've listened to the past two episodes, with what comes next, right?
The three-point system.
Yes. By the way, you automatically win because Austin sucked at using his fallacy.
I did. I knew that was going to happen. I'll do better.
Thank you.
Honestly, I was just not prepared for the whole Pokemon thing, so my mind was set on that.
Okay, but Austin, I was also not prepared for the Pokemon thing and didn't know anything about my Pokemon, so... I think I win on this one, too.
It's about the illogical debate, not the Pokemon. Remember that moving forward.
Oh, I will try.
All right. So I take it we're all ready to move on.
Well, I need to know about our points.
Oh, he said you automatically win. So you already...
I need to know how my opening argument was.
Oh, your opening argument was not bad. Not bad at all. I think it would have won. I'm gonna dock you your best responses to criticism points because of your technical foul.
That seems fair.
Yeah. That also threw me through a loop.
I apologize. I got real heated there for a second. I'll do better next time.
You probably would have got a perfect 3 of 3 if it weren't for that.
Dang it.
Because it was good responses to criticism, just in a bad time. And you got to know your comedic timing to be on a comedy podcast.
Oh, absolutely. You got to wait for the applause to die down just a little, but not too much.
I'll keep that in mind for next time.
Joel, keep that in mind if we ever do a live show.
I'll do my best.
God, that'd be a treat, wouldn't it?
Yeah. All right, Margaret, you want to go first or second?
Second.
I see how it is.
Kick. Here's your topics. Austin, who would win in a fight? You have Emo Scrafty.
Oh, my God.
And Margaret, you have Squirtwig.
Is this a real Pokemon or is it just weird Squirtle?
It is a combination of the Pokemon Squirtle and Turtwig.
Okay, I don't know what that is. So we're back on the same page as before.
They're both turtles.
Yeah, they're both turtle Pokemon.
They are both.
All right.
They're both turtle Pokemon, basically. So they were fused together to make this.
Isn't Pokemon just like all weird turtles?
I mean, that's some of them ghosts.
That's like three of them. No. Four of them. No. Six of them.
I don't know. I feel like the creator of Pokemon, before Pokemon was a thing, was just like, hey, check it out. I drew this turtle, but he's got a squirrel's tail instead. Isn't that wild?
Actually, he was like, hey, check it out. I drew this rhinoceros. Because Rhydon was the first Pokemon made. Was it?
Turtles are kind of like rhinoceroses, except with shells and much smaller.
Yeah, I guess
that's,
so.
That's kind of like saying, you know, planes are like cars, but they're really big and can fly instead of drive.
I would think that's a valid point, Austin.
Planes are buses with wings.
Planes are buses with wings. What about cargo planes? Those are like semis with wings instead.
Yeah, still buses. Tour buses, though. You know, with all the seats taken out so that it can fit the equipment in there.
Yeah, I guess. But what about where the other people are going to sit?
In the seats that they have left.
Up in the cabin with the pilot.
I don't know.
Just like the bus driver.
Anyway, that's not what we're debating today. Austin has to tell me why Emo Scrafty would beat Squirtwig.
All right. Emo Scrafty would win in a fight because he's a Pokemon. He's just a little different compared to Squirtwig that is an abomination of the two. Where, I mean, Pokemon are kind of like, you know, weird mixes of animals, but this is just too far. You can't mix two Pokemon. That's like a Pokemon squared. It just doesn't work. Emo Scrafty would destroy Squirtwig.
So here's what I have to say. We don't just live in a universe. We live in a multiverse where every decision, every scenario that has ever happened creates a new splinter world. In some of them, gravity is reversed. In every single one, except for this one, Squirtwig beat Emo Scrafty in a fight. They haven't fought yet. But when they do, I can guarantee that just like in every single one of those other worlds, he will win because he has before.
You know, Margaret, we do live in a universe. There's just the theory of the multiverse. And you know what they say about winning a battle but not winning the war? I mean, I'm sure that somebody out there, like the British, I'm sure they won a few battles. But who rules America right now? Americans. So, Emo Scrafty will absolutely demolish Squirtwig. He'll just take a big old chomp out of him. Look, and here's the size comparison, too. That Squirtwig is on top of somebody's fingertips and still looks small. I guarantee you, Emo Scrafty looks like a skyscraper. Possibly, dare I say, a Godzilla compared to this Squirtwig.
You're out of time.
And he will just take a big old butt, dang it.
All right, so I have several things to say. But first, I'll go with that last part. Have you ever heard of bed bugs?
Yes, I have.
They bite you, they get all over your legs, they're real itchy, and they're real, real, real hard to kill. Squirtwig is kind of like the bed bug of the Pokemon world. I think that he's pretty great. Second, the multiverse does exist. Just because you say it hasn't been proven doesn't mean it doesn't exist. People talk about it existing, therefore it definitely does. And Squirtwig has won in all of them. Now, in regards to your point about the British did lose that war. There were three fronts to it. They lost the one in America and won the other two. So you know what? Emo Scrafty, with his weird pointy plush points, I mean, all Squirt Wig needs to do is be a bed bug and...
You're out
of
time.
Okay.
Listen, bed bugs, sure, I guess. I mean, but can't you just... You just... There you go. Bed bug's gone. So, this Squirt Wig guy, no, I'm just not having it. He is the worst knockoff Pokemon. My Pokemon may be a knockoff, but he is not as knocked off as that Squirt Wig is. It's like my Scrafty has a shader, whereas your Pokemon has a Digimon inside of it. And the whole multiverse thing, Squirt Wig may have won in every other universe, but this is the universe where Scrafty wins.
All right, I'm really proud of myself for not interrupting. That's not how bed bugs work. You can't squish them. All right, now to my real closing argument. Squirt Wig has a lot that's going against him. He looks real weird. He has a weird leaf coming out of his head. He's very tiny. But what he does have for him is that in every other single world in the multiverse, he has won the battle against Emo Scrafty. Possibly because Scrafty is too emo and he can't win the fight. That means that because of that, he absolutely will win in this world. I mean, there's nothing else to say.
Is that it?
That's okay. It.
Austin, you want to go ahead and throw that fallacy out there?
I'm going to read it real quick. So my fallacy was no true Scotsman. Mm. It says, declare that something that belongs to a group but doesn't fit the group's stereotype doesn't belong to the group. Yeah, while it may be a bootleg Pokemon, it is...
It's a Digimon, actually.
It's an actual Digimon.
mine was begging the question... Make a claim that relies on information that hasn't been proven in order to be true. And pretty much all I could think of was that he won in every other part of the multiverse.
Yeah, that's pretty apparent.
Yep. That's a good one. All right, so we might actually have a judging round this time. For, let's see, for use of fallacies, you both did that. We just talked about that. For best opening arguments... Man, your guys' opening arguments both kind of sucked, honestly.
Okay.
I'm going to have to go with Austin, though. Let's see. In my opinion, on best responses to criticism, also Austin.
Boo. Hey, it's okay, Margaret, because his votes don't matter because we still leave it up to the audience afterwards.
Yeah.
So for all we know... I could have won that first argument.
No.
Out of sheer support.
I need this.
Yeah, there's actually no way that I won that opening argument.
I'd like a better Pokemon than that weird one, please.
Honestly,
I really liked Emo Scrafty or Scrafty or whatever his name is. He looked pretty rad.
Yeah, I don't remember what type Scrafty is, but
he's dark and fighting.
Okay, I knew he was fighting at least, but I couldn't remember. So yeah, dark and fighting, that like emo Scrafty, that fits.
Really does.
I think the type Squirt Wig would be. That would is the be like, what is it, like water rock?
He has a little
water
tree
and grass probably.
Or, yeah, grass, my bad. Wow, a water grass, that'd be insane. I'm sure there's a Pokemon like that though.
Ludicolo?
Is there an algae Pokemon?
Probably.
No. You guys ready to go on then to the next one?
I think so. I'm going to go second this time.
Okay.
Cool. Margaret, who would win in a fight? You send out Bulba Fett. And Austin, you have Teenage Mutant Ninja Squirtle.
Oh dear. It looks so bad.
It looks like it's melted.
Oh, no. I feel so bad for this guy.
That's the highest res image I could find of it, too.
That's the highest res image. That's like negative 20p.
Margaret, tell us why Bulba Fett would win in a fight.
Bulba Fett is very similar to Boba Fett, who is from Star Wars, I think, which is like the other nerd thing I don't know about. But that's okay. Because Boba Fett is great. And, you know, he's got, like, cool colors. He's got, like, the red eyes. And Boba Fett is just, like, all around a cool guy. And he would just definitely win this fight. And also, he probably can fight because I think Boba Fett could. I mean, he's great.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Squirtle has got to be the greatest Pokemon in existence. Look at how beautiful he is. You do not get that kind of beauty unnaturally. Teenage Mutant Ninja Squirtle comes from the natural world of Pokemon. And that's what makes him so beautiful. And look at those eyes. He is so focused. He is determined to whoop some Boba Fett ass.
So, I mean, what I heard is that Teenage Mutant Ninja Squirtle is ready to whoop some Boba Fett ass, but I have yet to hear any evidence that he actually could. I just, the fact that he's from the natural world and that he's all that in a bag of chips. I mean, again, there is no evidence that he could defeat Boba Fett. Now, Boba Fett is super great. He's super rad. Everything about him is cool. And you haven't shown me yet how he could be defeated. He's just pretty great. And I feel like this is your fault for being a bad arguer.
All right, going for a personal attack here. I see how that is. See, as a Pokemon trainer, I don't argue with other people. I send in my Pokemon to do my fighting for me. And this hunk of Squirtle right here is the greatest fighter. As we know, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, who I assume train Teenage Mutant Ninja Squirtle, they know a lot of martial arts. They're really good at fighting. I don't think they've ever lost, really. I mean, they probably have. But most of the time, 99% of the time, they win. And he is ready to kick some ass because he knows all sorts of martial arts. He's got determined, focused eyes. And honestly, I think he could get right up and use Boba Fett's center of balance against him because he's got to be kind of a small guy. And he can just, you know.
Austin, your time's up.
Boba Fett is a tall, skinny Pokemon. He has kind of gray-blue skin and like darker gray-blue chest armor. And he's pretty great. I think he would win in a fight. I absolutely do. I would stake everything on it. You've told me that Teenage Mutant Ninja Squirtle is good at martial arts. I mean, that's fine. But I mean, I don't see why that would mean he would automatically win in a fight. You said he was trained by the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, who are absolutely the greatest. But it doesn't mean that every student they ever train is that good or even good enough to beat Boba Fett. Boba Fett is unbeatable. And I mean, again, you haven't given me any reason to doubt that.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Squirtle is ready, determined, knows martial arts, and is beautiful. He comes from the natural world. He can, if he gets in a tight spot, he can squeeze inside that shell. Boom, he's indestructible. Also, I noticed that Boba Fett only has a Pokeball to fight with. And I just want to let you know that Teenage Mutant Ninja Squirtle is the absolute rarest Pokemon, and his catch rate is 0.00001%. So good luck with that. I'm done.
Very nice. Very nice. All right. You want to do the thing?
I'll go ahead and...
Margaret, I'll let you read first this time because you went first.
I had argument from silence. Declare that your claim is right based on a lack of evidence against it rather than based on the evidence in its favor.
Okay. Austin, your turn.
My argument was appeal to nature. Declare that because something is natural, it is inherently good, truthful, or correct.
I think you both did that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
see, I also want to point out, Margaret, I'm learning something about you.
What?
I think the reason I'm so bad at this game is because I don't use logical fallacies, and that just means that you're a big fat liar.
I do not deny that.
Well, you both used your fallacies, so good job. on that.
My opening argument was bad. So, like, just ignore that yeah. part for me.
Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and give that point to Austin then. Who had best responses to criticism? I'm going to have to give that one to Margaret. Austin, you had no proof to any of your claims.
All right, look, I said he was good at fighting, and I gave his catch rate, so...
Yeah, but not, like, how was that a response to a criticism?
I told you he was good at fighting. That's how he wins. He's good.
Yeah.
Actually, you're right. I did just keep saying, give me evidence.
Yeah. Yeah. We need that proof, man. Where on his Bulbapedia page does it say he has a 0.000001% catch rate?
All right, I think you missed a zero in there, but yeah, sure.
That was my favorite argument of the whole game.
It was pretty good.
I was hoping that Boba Fett would come out.
Oh, man. How many of these did you say you had?
I think I put 14 into Roll 20. But I definitely dug up about 30 of these.
Oh, man. I cannot wait.
So, yeah, we'll be doing this again at some point. And, yes, I will just drop it on you again without warning. Anyway, you guys are tied at the moment, so I got to decide who used their fallacy better. Margaret.
Yeah, I'd have to go with Margaret as well.
So to be clear on what's most important, I'm pretty sure I came in and dominated at this game.
Yeah. Like I said, I'm not lying. I am bad at this game.
Well, you're doing all right.
Me as a person, I don't like arguing with people. If I have to do it, I will. But arguing for fun is not something I do. So I just don't have a lot of experience in life arguing.
Wait, Austin.
Yeah?
Are you saying that you do not have the required experience to be on this show?
What? All right, listen.
I trusted you, man.
I definitely have the required experience. I just need more on-the-job training. You know what I'm saying?
So what you're saying is you bullshit just as much as I do.
Yeah, probably.
All right, let's move on. Margaret.
Yes.
You going first or second?
Second.
Austin's first. Okay, so, Austin. You choose Matrix Bound Pikachu.
Yikes.
Oh my goodness.
I have a lot of horrifying feelings about that, and they're
You're
not
welcome.
Great.
Margaret, you choose a misprinted Leafeon whose face is on its butt.
Oh, that's what that is.
Wow. That is a bootleg Pokemon.
I don't know if this is actually bootleg or just a factory mistake, but I felt like it belonged
here.
It's
on a store shelf.
Yeah. It's definitely a factory mistake.
But it could be at a...
What's that one called behind it?
But it could be at a convention. And if it's at a convention, then it could be bootleg.
That's true.
Because that just looks like a Gen Con shelf.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that.
Hey, Austin, you been to Gen Con yet?
Yeah, I've been to Gen Con.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. Also, I think it's PopCon. It's either PopCon or Comic-Con that falls on my birthday this year.
Indie PopCon is a thing. Oh, yeah. Speaking of Comic-Con, Sean Austin's going to be there.
Yes, he is, and I'm excited.
Yeah, I might actually have to go to Comic-Con this year to hop in that line.
Absolutely. Margaret, you ever been to Comic-Con or PopCon or Gen Con?
Austin, I think you know the answer to all of those questions.
I think that's a hard no for Margaret.
But would you want to meet Sean Austin if you had the opportunity?
I mean, I don't like waiting in lines, and I don't know who Sean Austin is.
Okay, I'm sure you know who Sean Austin is. You just don't realize
it. Give me some context.
Have you seen Stranger Things Season 2?
Okay.
Rudy, Lord of the Rings. What person is in all of those movies?
I don't know. The Lord of the Rings movies were boring.
Oh, okay. Should we just hang up now, or...
You know, Margaret, I invited you into my apartment to record this podcast with me.
I have very, very strong feelings about fantasy-based properties, which is where my expertise lies. And my experience with all Lord of the Rings-related stuff is that there's too many boys doing too many boy things, and it's just real boring, and where are all the girl characters? And then I've kept that opinion from about age 9 until now.
Well, that's not what we're here to debate. But anyway, Sean Austin, You've seen Rudy and you've seen Stranger Things season 2, yeah, right?
Or no, I haven't seen season 2. I've just seen season 1.
Margaret, you're going to have to get
Okay. Well, you remember Rudy from Rudy?
I mean, yeah.
Okay, that's Sean Austin.
Okay. Instead, I'm not going to wait in line to see him.
Well, he's not going to wait in line to see you either, Margaret. How does that make you feel?
Yeah.
Fine.
So what were we doing again? Austin, you are depending the Matrix-bound Pikachu.
I'm going to start my argument with a question. Have any of you ever seen the Matrix? I mean, I'll tell you what. Once this Pikachu opens his mind, it's impossible to beat him. He will be dodging every single attack that Leafeon throws at him. And, you know, if this Pikachu is trained enough, which I'm sure he is because he's got all those things plugged into him, he's got to be high-intensity electricity, and he's definitely past the point where he was supposed to evolve, so he learns all those quick moves, which makes him even faster, and he cannot be touched, and he cannot be stopped.
Leafeon has his eyes printed on his butt, and it looks like the tail is his nose. But, you know, that is what makes him powerful. It is a trope in fantasy and science fiction stories that the hero is often an outcast in some way. Maybe they're an orphan. Maybe they're a loner. Maybe they have these weird powers they can't control that freak people out. Leafeon is just like those heroes. Leafeon is the hero of this story. And Leafeon will absolutely beat Matrix-bound Pikachu.
You know what, Margaret? I think that your argument is dumb. And Matrix-bound Pikachu is the shit. Because he's electrically charged. He can definitely beat a Leafeon. And I just still can't believe that you don't like Lord of the Rings. So I feel like that's impairing your judgment on this a lot. And, you know, I just think Matrix-bound Pokemon or Matrix-bound Pikachu would electrocute the crap out of that Leafeon. Also, the Leafeon is still in his packaging, and if it's in there for the whole fight, I don't think it can do much, honestly.
You think my argument is invalid because I don't like Lord of the Rings? Austin, did you watch Lord of the Rings this morning? No. So I'm pretty sure that it doesn't matter, regardless of which of us are Lord of the Rings fans or not. That's a pointless argument, and it has nothing to do with it. Matrix-bound Pikachu is, I mean, you talk about how he has all this electricity power, and that's all great. Do you use electricity power in your daily life? Do you know how you could electrocute someone with electricity power? Is that a thing that you practice? I'm pretty sure not. And I'm pretty sure that just because you think Matrix-bound Pikachu has all this stuff, you have no experience with it. And I just...
Your time's up.
Pikachu is like the main guy from The Matrix, whose name I can't remember because it's been so long since I've seen it. he's super fast. He's dodging all those bullets. He's stopping things in midair. And, you know, Margaret, did you watch Lord of the Rings this morning? Because if you don't like it, I don't see why you would. And I just think that your judge of character on this Leafeon is just bad. I just feel like you as a person, you just have a bad judge of character, and you can't tell a good knockoff Pokemon from a bad knockoff Pokemon.
You think that I'm not a good judge of character? You claim to care about Matrix-bound Pikachu, and you don't even know the name of Neo, the main character of The Matrix. I do not understand why any of your arguments have been valid so far. I mean, everything you said is full of mistakes and errors and forgetting important things. Matrix-bound Pikachu is garbage, just like all of your arguments. Leafeon misprint is awesome. He is so awesome. He's in that bag to protect him, to protect the world from him. He is the hero of this story, and he will win this fight.
Okay.
I really want to know what your fallacy was.
This argument is the... This argument, these fallacies, was the reason this game was made. We had ad hominem versus tu quoque.
All right. Who's reading their fallacy first?
Austin, explain yours right. First.
So mine is ad hominem, the name of the game. And it says, attack your opponent's character or personal traits to try and undermine their argument.
Mine is tu quoque, which is very easy if we're not debating which Pokemon would win in a fight. But declare criticism invalid because the opponent's actions don't wholly match that of their claim.
Oh my gosh. So we're basically sitting here attacking each other rather than playing the game. I thought yours was going to be, yeah, definitely something like that. That was like, attack somebody else or their claims rather than focus on like which part of your argument. I'm just sitting here also imagining like, what if this is how all Pokemon battles are? Which is like, you just throw like in real life, you would just throw like a squirrel onto a field and it's just like, my squirrel can be your dumb turtle because you can just pick them up and put them in his mouth. But they don't do anything. They're just sitting there looking at everybody like, what's going on? That's how I feel bootleg Pokemon. Let's do it. Let's make a bootleg Pokemon where you have to battle each other with words and your Pokemon are just sitting there looking at each other.
I think that the one who wins should get a snack.
Yeah, definitely.
So clearly, you both used your fallacies. Good job. Best opening argument, Austin.
Sweet.
I like your half knowledge of the Matrix.
See, I was sitting there and I was like, what is the main character's name? And immediately after I said I didn't know it, I was like, Neo. I was just sitting there like, shit.
You knew that one was gonna come back to you.
Yeah.
So yeah, Austin, I liked your opening argument. I think you put a positive twist on a horrifying situation.
Yeah.
And I gotta respect that. And so best responses to criticism, though, definitely Margaret on that one.
So how are we going to do this tie?
Well, I got to decide who used the fallacy better.
So while he's thinking, also, when you asked me if I watched Lord of the Rings this morning, my immediate thought was like, wait, did Margaret watch Lord of the Rings this morning? I was like, because that's normally somebody, like what somebody does. Yes. It's like, well, did you do this at X time?
Also, he nodded yes, which really got me worried for about half a second.
It's like, oh yeah. My morning routine, wake up, watch the entire Lord of the Rings trilogy.
And then the Hobbit trilogy. No, right after.
That is a whole day. If that was my morning routine every day, I would not be a person.
You couldn't even fall asleep at night.
Exactly. I'm just stuck in a fugue state constantly, tripping over myself.
Anyway, I think Austin used his fallacy better this time. You didn't use it the way I would have, but that's okay. Wait, does that make this a tie so far? Yeah.
So we are down to it. But also, it doesn't matter if it's a tie right now because Joel's votes don't matter.
It matters very much because I'll walk away knowing who's a winner and who's a loser.
Yeah, well, you're not supposed to find that out for a couple weeks. Anyway, Austin, you stole my line. But yes, we are down to it.
Oh yeah, that's right. My bad. Whoops.
Let's get down to it then. Austin, you going first or second?
I will go second.
Margaret, you choose.
Oh my gosh.
Pika duck.
What is on his beak?
That's a nose.
That's the nose. This is a Pikachu rubber duck. And you think it's going to be able to beat... waiting for it to load. Stoned Celebi.
Also want to point out that the font and color of font for each Pokemon has been the same, which I can only assume that Joel named these Pokemon.
Yeah.
So you couldn't have went with like Disoriented or anything. You had to go with Stoned.
Nope. Had to be Stoned.
Right. Understandable.
Look at him. Look at him. Tell me he's not.
I know. He sure is. He's gone.
Yep. Okay. Margaret, I would Pikaduck win in a fight.
Pikaduck has two very important powers. He has lightning power, electricity, whatever. And he also is a duck who can float in the water. And so he also has water powers. Now, what can you do when you combine electricity plus water? You can kill anything alive that is in the water when you combine them. And, I mean, in addition, Pikaduck has all kinds of powerful survival skills. He can swim. He has that powerful Pikachu tail to bat off any enemies coming from behind. And he has a nose on top of his beak so that he has the powers of smell in addition to all the benefits of a beak, which birds have benefits for. And he has giant ears, which can help him hear any danger.
You're out of time.
All right, Margaret. Margaret, my words. Let me tell you something. As I'm sure you don't know because you don't play Pokemon, Celebi can fly.
Oh, shit. And oh, shit.
So your water argument does not have any power here. And also, Celebi's stone, so he's flying high. And he can just rain down grass attacks on Pikaduck. And since Pikaduck is a water type, as you said, he's weak to grass. So there's that.
Wait, does that hold up?
Yeah, that holds up. That's definitely a thing that Pokemon do. So he takes extra damage. So Stone Celebi is super effective against Pikaduck.
I got distracted and now I forget what you said. But one thing that I remember that you said is that he is a grass type, and so Pikaduck is extra vulnerable, whatever the words are, which like is fine. But he's not a grass type. He's a psychic grass type. I'm pretty sure that you said what you said was like a gross mistake. And this is Celebi, and he is your fighter, and you should know more about him. Now, Pikaduck is, I mean, the thing about ducks is that they can also fly. Pikaduck can fly away when Celebi starts raining grass. So yeah, perhaps Pikaduck is vulnerable, but Pikaduck just has to fly higher than Celebi and then shoot lightning at Celebi, to which Celebi is vulnerable double.
All right, listen. So Celebi is psychic grass type, which means that he can confuse your Pikaduck, and that Pikaduck is just going to be sitting there dumbfounded, looking more stone than Stone Celebi is. And he's just not going to know what to do, leaving him even more vulnerable to Celebi's attacks. And also, you know, I think Celebi's really cool, and I'm 100% certain that Joel thinks Celebi is really cool. So by default, I think he should win, because everybody just thinks Celebi's cool. I mean, it's widely known. I mean, Celebi's cool, super strong, stoned, and gonna win. He's hungry for victory, and he's extra hungry because he's stoned.
Pikaduck is great. Pikaduck takes all the powers of a Pikachu and all the awesomeness of a Pikachu and combines them with all the powers of a duck and the awesomeness of a duck to create a pretty rad thing. Now, I think that most people like Pikaduck, but I wouldn't go so far to say that everyone likes Pikaduck, because do they really? Have you gone out and asked every single person if they liked Celebi? Whatever. Have you? I mean, I don't care what you think about what celibacy is. I care about the actual facts of the situation, which is that Pika Duck would win. This isn't about how many people do or don't like celibacy. It's about Pika Duck and how Pika Duck would win this fight.
One last point. You said that Pika Duck combines all the powers of Pikachu and all the powers of a duck. And I've seen ducks in real life, and honestly, not impressed. I know a lot of people just kind of hate ducks, so they're just big dumb idiots going around flying. I mean, sure, they can fly, but do they have the intelligence to fly enough to beat Stone Celebi? And look, I've used Celebi on one of my Pokemon teams. I'm sure somebody else out there has. One of the YouTubers I watch has used Celebi on his Pokemon team. Altogether, Celebi's got to be strong. I mean, that's enough people to just kind of declare that. I mean, Celebi's strong. Everybody loves him. Look at that cute little face. How you say no to that? Those little eyes? Great. What a great guy. So, in closing, he has type advantage. Pika Duck's dumb.
Time's up.
I really thought your argument to authority was really bad until that last part. You really rallied there.
So, here, I'll...
Oh, his argument wasn't to authority.
What was it?
No. My argument, or my method card, was composition fallacy. Declaring that if something is true of individual people or objects from a group, it must also be true of the whole group.
I mean, I guess I see it.
So
you did a good argument to authority, though.
Yeah, that's true. So the things I used for this was like, I've used Celebi and, you know, somebody else have used Celebi. Or like, I really think ducks are just big dumb idiots. And
for
I know
the record, I was
do.
Literally dying of laughter during that whole duck thing at the end. I had splitting hairs, focusing attention on an extremely small, specific, or inconsequential aspect of a topic or what your opponent said. So both times I picked like two words that Austin said and got angry about them for about half of my time.
Oh, man.
Well, you both used your fallacies. I'm going to say, Austin, you barely used it better. I had a hard time picking them out this time, honestly.
Yeah.
I could automatically tell, though, when you were using yours the time you did. I had to really think about when Margaret was splitting hairs.
Yeah, I wasn't.
I mean, one of them was, I mean, I'm not arguing for it, but like one of them was when like he's a grass and psychic type Pokemon. You can't get that wrong. It's not just grass. I mean, that's what I was trying to get at.
Yeah. You both used your fallacies. Austin used his better. So point one to Austin. Best opening argument, Austin. Best responses to criticism, Austin.
Yeah, I think Austin takes a hat trick.
Yes.
Yeah.
I did good. the last argument. Oh man. Honestly, I feel like almost all of these arguments were really good. They were definitely fun.
Yeah.
I feel like some of the fallacies are hard to do with where it's not about like
a topic,
yeah.
Cuz like No True Scotsman was really hard for me.
Yeah.
Cuz it was like, I don't know.
You pulled it off.
I did, but it was like a really long grab.
I had trouble thinking of something to say for Tu Quoque.
You did end up,
but you got
you
there.
Did end up using that pretty good because.
But I had trouble thinking about it.
Oh man, I can't remember because there was the entire time I was thinking. There's another card in here where you kind of have to like attack your opponent, and I was like, did we both get like opponent attacking cards? I was like, we have not said anything about the Pokemon.
You totally did.
Oh.
Well, that was that. So it's closing time, guys. You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. Before you go, though, Margaret, you got any social accounts or mixtapes you want to drop on our listeners?
I will say that I'm happy I got to be on this podcast. I thought it sounded rad ever since Austin told me about it in December.
Yeah.
That sounds right. Also, I am a ghost and you cannot find me online.
That's true.
Oh, okay.
Margaret just doesn't appear. I think every time Margaret like likes one of my tweets, I'm like, oh, hey, it's nice to know that Margaret's still alive.
Okay, so I guess You're just on for the experience, yes. And not for the fame.
For some reason, one of those 10 people needs me, they can contact Austin.
Yep. Also, I do want to point out, Margaret is a very important addition because she is our first female guest, which is really nice.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Excited to be the first.
Yeah, we couldn't get a female co-host on. I did ask a couple people.
Yeah, he tried.
I tried. I'm sorry.
Who knows? Maybe in the future we can have multiple full-time co-hosts and we'll just be cranking these things out twice a week.
No, but for the month of October, it's about to be February, isn't
Joel,
it?
Joel, are you okay?
No, I nearly died this week, remember?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
No, I'm fine. But for the month of February, we're going to be doing an experiment. I'm going to see if I can upload an episode once a week. So for January, we're going to stay bi-weekly. But in February, you're going to get 4 episodes that month, if everything goes well.
More content.
Thank you, Margaret, for coming on. Hey, while we're thinking about it, do I have that window pulled up? I don't. Let me pull that up.
That's great.
All right, it looks like no one's posted on the Podient blog, but that's cool, because we got some votes on Facebook. Oh, wow, it looks like we didn't get many votes for Frozen Dessert or Tomatoes, but Tide Pods was a pretty divisive thing.
Who won that one?
Oh, you did. It was 2-1, it looks like, according to the Facebook polls. And sorry, Twitter, I totally spaced it this week. It wasn't like last week where I'm just not sure what happened to things. I just spaced putting them up.
You need to get better about that, Joel.
Anyway, so the other two, who won those? Is tomato a fruit or vegetable? The people voted vegetable on that one. And for best frozen dessert, the people voted frozen yogurt in favor of you, Austin.
Yeah, boom.
So you won episode 7.
Nice.
And now we're on episode 8. So we'll all have to let Margaret know how she did to thank her for coming on.
Tell Margaret in one of our D&D sessions, or if she listens.
I will listen to it.
I hope so. I guess it's time to tell you how to find us. We are the Ad Hominem Podcast. You can find us on Twitter at Incitement Games, because this is put out by Incitement Studio, the people bringing you Ad Hominem, the game of illogical debate. At some point when it's out of development.
This podcast is one big beta test. That's why we need more guests.
You can find me personally at Denalo Leoge, and that's Joel Holland, JoelHolland. And then you spell it backwards.
You can find me on Twitter at Austin Irwin, which is capital AUSTIN, capital ERWIN.
So yeah, if you want to talk about the show, we have a hashtag. We can't get it trending yet, but you can help with that. Tweet about the show using the Ad Hominem Cast hashtag. And then, are you listening on iTunes? You might be listening on iTunes. If you're not listening on iTunes, that's okay. But if you are listening from iTunes, would you mind leaving a review? And also, whatever you're listening on, if you haven't done so already, could you subscribe? We need those too. We need subscribers and reviewers and people using the hashtag and talking about the show and voting on things, not just whether or not Tide Pods are edible. That meme was probably dead by the time the episode was uploaded.
No, it's still very apparent.
As a teacher in an elementary school, it is still going strong.
Well, I feel a little better then. Anyway, do we got anything else we need to tell these people?
Have a good day, and I love you all.
So, thank you all for listening in again. Remember, debates are not about proving your point. They are about asserting dominance over your opponent or your opponent's Pokemon.
Oh, that's the episode, y'all.